Lift up our hands to heaven and appreciate Him ahead of time for what is about to happen. This is a day of eruption of grace in the precious name of Jesus Christ. About 21 years ago, I was out in a meeting in the United States of America, and Tulsa, to be precise. And I was determined to return with an encounter of a lifetime. I desired an entrance into a new dimension of ministry by tapping into the spirit of the man Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory. I never knew whether the one sitting by myself was a man or a woman. Whether I was white or black, I was blinded by my desperation. I never knew whether I was in the first row, the second row, the third, or the fifth. My desperation gave me an encounter that led to a change of position, instant. When I returned from that trip, 1986, everybody knew had met with God. Something had turned. My struggle had been turned into a soothing experience. There was no more screaming to get result. There was no more sweating than the sweat to come out of your three-piece suit. I came under an influence of a spiritual coolant. My spirit man connected with a divine coolant, no more overheating. And results began to tumble in one after another. Sweatless results, noiseless progress began. Fire will pour water only upon him that is thirsty. And I will let my floods flow only on dry land. Every time you want an encounter with the Spirit of God, desperation is the gateway. The experience of 21 years ago is still here today. 30 years ago, I said, Lord, I'd like you to show me the secret behind the Acts of the Apostles. And I began checking 7 days of waiting, dangerous waiting. And after 4 days, I'd only gone to chapter 13. That is, even if you are a snail. Every statement was firing into my spirit, man. I have not recovered. I'd like you to desire an irrecoverable encounter. Something that will live with you the remaining days of your life. Because I know something will happen this morning that has never happened in the history of Christianity. Here this morning, there shall be the birth of new generation Josephs. There shall be the birth of new generation Daniels. The same anointing that gave me my place in my own career will give someone here his place in his own career. I got to a nation, our ambassador surrendered his car, not that we knew before, it's just the normal experience. There is a way you become a diplomat by a divine ordination. And was trekking after the meeting. I said, come and join me. He said, no, it's yours. I was in a nation, our ambassador there was not disposed. He was a little ill. And he was sneezing. And it doesn't belong to our faith. But I had the regular welcome I should have when I get to any nation anyway. But he still packaged himself to come. And I said, but why? He said, it's my responsibility. Not under this government, I mean. Something that will be irrecoverable will happen to someone here today. So that instead of begging men all around, you are just supernaturally in command of the happenings. You are not connecting anybody to anybody. I have operated solely till date by unction, not by any kind of connection. Though plenty of it, but never utilize once, because the source is stronger than the strongest connection on this earth. And the Lord told that young man, start smoking fish from the Bible. And now the fish is in US, the fish is in UK, it's in Germany, it's in Italy. Fish, don't they have water there? When God says it, the heavens open up for it. Something is opening up to you this morning. If that is you, shout hallelujah. He said, if you see me when I am caught up, then it shall be yours. But if not, forget it. So stay on red alert. If you want, don't want to end up in the red, stay up on red alert. It is your one generational opportunity for a supernatural repositioning. So you need to sit up and get them. I pity a lot of my children. They don't have the correct priority. They think it's a game. When you give an offering, then you get a blessing. You are wasting your time. It is through the works of your hand, principally, that God blesses you. And so if you get on the right track, the blessings keep flowing naturally and supernaturally, becoming a reality to everybody. Now that you are here, I believe your case is different. Please get seated. The disciples went around and served the food, and after everybody was eating, they went home with a basket each. Amen. So you are all going back home with a basket of blessings. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Empowerment for enlargement. And everybody needs this because of where we are going by divine design. If you do what I tell you to do, I will set you up on high above all nations of the earth. So the topmost top is where you belong. So where you are now is not where you are going, it's only a stepping stone to where you are going. Say with me, the topmost top is where I belong. Therefore, where I am now is not where I am going. It's only a stepping stone to where I'm going. The topmost top is where I'm going. Though my beginning may be small, my later end shall yet greatly increase. That means you are destined for enlargement. I say you are destined for enlargement. For the path of the just man is as a shining light, and it shines more and more and more unto the perfect day. You are programmed for enlargement, unending enlargement. That's your destiny in Christ. My Bible said you are the salt of the earth. So you have a destiny to influence your generation. You are the light of the world that makes you a pace setter, a pathfinder, and a trailblazer. The world taking cue after you on the way forward in your business. The light of the world, showing the world the way to go, showing the world the steps to take. This morning, I can say hello to them in Dubai because they are online. I can say hello to them in Belgium because they are gathered together right now. Now see, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And a city set on a hill that must be seen by everybody. That connotes you are destined for unending enlargement. You see, because it is your mentality that defines the limits of your destiny. It is your mentality that defines the limits of your destiny. You must understand that your case has been designed and packaged before you came here. But you will only realize as far as your eyes can see of the details that are packed into your destiny. If that is the plan, how do I realize it? If that is God's purpose, how does it come true in my life? It begins with mentality, which is influenced by insight. Because it's your insight that determines the way you think. There are full-grown adults that are in this meeting that never registered because they carry a poverty mentality. Just let me go there and shunt and show how wonderful I am and how responsible I can be. Years ago, my mentor said to me, he said, open that bag. He was very excited that day, and I opened the bag. It was 20 naira notes. That time, that was the higher denomination. He said, take as much as you want. I said, I don't want. You mean I can give you money? I said, you can. He said, but I would rather learn how to get it than have someone do it for me. Now, it's no more today. It's going to be with the Lord. What if you were the source on which I was living? I would be down to the floor. People don't know that covenant responsibility is what enhances the color of your destiny. I mean, now you carry a full-grown adult free boss. You should be bothered. Particularly when you have the means, you should be bothered. You say, this thing matters a lot. What needs have you in your ministry? Our ministry has no needs. 20 years ago, my mentality was formed. Insight has formed my mentality. I'm not a shunter. I don't go looking for free things. Those who are around me know I'm so difficult to give a gift. You'll be running. Because I'm not living on it. Change your attitude. There are some of us here who will pay fully for everything you use to register. So when we ask to register, it's to help promote your spiritual covenant responsibility. There's nothing there. If you want to register the whole of this church, the church population as a whole, I will use one check to clear it. But if I fail to tell you how we grew, I'll be disappointing you. I'm failing God. Some people won't cater for their own family. It's a problem. This is how the hands are. Children born by him, this is how the hands are. But my Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall himself be watered unto. My sons and daughter here said, we'll make money available to assist those who cannot register. I looked at them, why not? You are free. But how long are you going to carry adults on your back? I'll be showing you now what it takes to scale heights. And if you grab it and line up with it, you'll never be found at the same spot 2 years running. Every year we confer another jump that cannot be hidden. One of the state governors then said to me, we want to be a part of Covenant University. I said, no. He said, why? I said, your state government is trying to build a university which has no footing. Where is the morality behind being a part of the one that has no money problem? Joseph was a responsible man, so he qualified for the throne by the requirement. A governor gave me a seat many years ago, not in this dispensation. We were in their state, and he came for the meeting, and after the meeting, he said, I should please bless him and his household. I said, why not? We called by. And so when we got there, he brought an envelope to me. I said, I hope it's your money. I hope this is your money, not state money. Because I'm not entitled to any state money. I am not a security challenge to you. He said, oh, my honor, sir, it's my money. I said, okay. If it's your money. And then they now find you lining up behind politicians, cringing like lizards. If you take a dime for anyone in this election coming, you will pay dearly for it. And I'll show you by 7 scriptural examples. In the school of supernatural enlargement, wisdom is the master key. In a moment, you're going to see this in the lives of these seven great patriarchs. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, or 9, 7, I mean, verse, chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when thou dost embrace her. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto you, and an ornament of grace. That means your enlargement is rooted in wisdom. Heaven is an ever-enlarging kingdom, because every child of God has a mansion waiting for him. So every day a man is saved, another mansion is added. And the Lord, by wisdom, has founded the earth. And by understanding, has he established the heaven. Every second, thousands of souls are born on this earth. And the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and all that dwell therein. So, all that dwell on the earth are ever enlarging, per second, per second. And the Bible says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. Proverbs 3:19. And by understanding has he established the heaven. So wisdom and understanding guarantees continuous enlargement. Say with me, continuous enlargement. That is what we are entering into after this service. Very shortly, the winner's family will be the major custodian of the employment scenario in Nigeria. Can I hear you scream your amen loud? Companies here will rise that will chase away Julius Berger from Nigeria. Greater than Bill Gates' empire will rise here in Nigeria. Greater than Richard Branson's empire will rise from this community. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. How manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is also full of thy riches. Psalm 104, verse 24. How manifold are thy works, O Lord. In wisdom hast thou made them all, and the earth is also full of thy riches. Divine wisdom, therefore, is the master key in the school of enlargement. My Bible says, and they that be wise, they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men to righteousness as the stars of heaven forever and ever. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. So I'll take time to look at these seven great scriptural personalities and what was responsible for their supernatural, unmistakable enlargement. We start our journey from the man called Joseph. Leadership was Joseph's career. That was his dream. His dream was leadership. And then came a trouble in the land. The king had a dream, and he was troubled in their interpretation for it. And so Joseph was remembered and brought out of the prison. And Joseph successfully interpreted the dream, acceptably interpreted the dreams, and successfully prescribed a solution. And Pharaoh said, inasmuch, he said, can we find a man such as this is? Can we find a man such as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? So that was not natural realm of wisdom. Can we find a man like this, a man whom the Spirit of the Lord is? Who may set over these affairs? Inasmuch as God has shown you all these, there is none as wise and discreet as thou art who we may set over this business. So take over. Wise and discreet, take over. Wise and discreet, take over. That wisdom came by the operation of the Spirit of God. Pharaoh said, can we find a man as you, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as wise and discreet as you are in all our centers of international relations. Take over. Suddenly, the wisdom of God brought him supernatural enlightenment. From a prisoner, he jumped into being a prime minister. What a jump. What a jump. That is the kind of jump that will begin to happen in your life from now. People have been smoking fish in Nigeria for how many years? But when this fish smoker came, he did not only go to Sangwater Market. He did not stop at Oshodi. He smoked fish across the Atlantic into the United States, into Europe, just like that. The wisdom of God came alive in him, and the wisdom of God paved the way for the products to have access. That was an enlargement that kept on enlarging and enlarging all through the days of Joseph. Genesis 41 verse 38 to 44. That is what wisdom does. It catapults his career into a realm that cannot be naturally explained. And that's where you are going. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto him, for as much as God, everybody say God. For as much as God has showed you all this, there is none as discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall my people be ruled. Only on the throne will I be greater than thee. I surrender. I will be a ceremonial president. You be the prime minister. Take charge. What you say is what we do. Take charge. A prisoner last night, a prime minister today. God is changing your level supernaturally. If you believe that includes you, let me hear your loudest amen. God is changing your level supernaturally. And Pharaoh said in verse 42, 41, he said, and Pharaoh said unto him, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. He just was surrendering everything. I've set thee. That is the same way God, by this anointing, is setting you over your field in a manner that cannot be hidden. That's how God is setting you over your own field in a way that can never be hidden. And Pharaoh took off the ring from his hand. That's empowerment for enlargement. He took off the ring of authority from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold of chain about his neck. A prisoner of last night, a celebrity of this morning. How many can see enlargement? Can you see enlargement on your way? And he took him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And verse 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. It was a total takeover. How many are heading for a total takeover this morning? Let me hear your loudest amen. The wisdom of God empowered him for enlargement that led to a total takeover. A total takeover. A meeting was held sometimes in the U.S. by leading charismatic leaders and trying to locate what is the next move of God like. And as they sat in that discussion, one of them lifted up his hand and said, "We are wasting our time here talking about the move of God. There are men on the move today that are setting the pace. If they are not here, we are just talking theory. Call for them." Taking over from behind. Come and say, taking over from behind. God is going to dash you after now. The wisdom of Joseph. Greater than the wisdom of Joseph will begin to answer in every direction of your life. And then came Joshua. If you know the story of Joshua, he was only one of the young men. He was a domestic staff. He was what? He was a domestic staff in the house of Moses. They say, and one of the young men with him. He was one of the young men. If he belonged to any cabinet, it was a kitchen cabinet. One of the young men. But something happened that positioned him over 3 million people overnight. One of the young men. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. And Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, and the people hearkened to a domestic steward all at an instance. And the people hearkened unto a domestic steward. 3 million people came under his leadership. All in one switch. All in one switch. The spirit of wisdom supernaturally changed his status. It was an inexplicable enlargement. He said, lay your hands on him. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, he said, now Moses, my servant, is dead. You are now taking over. As I was with Moses, Abba, Moses suffered 40 years in the wilderness. And this boy just came and took over. So I will be with you. No one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given thee. It was a dramatic, sudden enlargement. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. And Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hand on him and the people hearkened unto him. Maybe it was in the security team of Moses. When he's coming, please clear. Moses is coming. You remember when they were prophesying in the camp, when they said, my Lord Moses forbid you. That's my area. I'm crowd control. Don't enter my master's office. And suddenly, he became the leader of a 3 million strong nation. Suddenly, by an anointing, by an impartation, as you are anointed today, there will be a visible change of position in your life. Can I hear your believing amen from the depth of your heart? About Joseph, I read it in the course of this meeting. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, whose feet were bound with iron, with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried them. And the king sent and loosed him and set him free and let him go free. And he began to teach his senators wisdom. Something is going to happen that the world around you will know you have encountered God. Then we looked at Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. We saw the endowment of wisdom. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, and I believe that will be your prayer today, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy great, so great of people. And the speech pleased the Lord, and that Solomon has asked this. Verse 12. This is what God said. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Verse 12. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Come and see enlargement. When wisdom comes, it initiates you into a world of unending enlargement. Until Jesus came, he was there. And when Jesus came, he said, greater than Solomon is here. He was on. I decree a baptism of the spirit of wisdom upon your life this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. So you'll be able to discern supernaturally between good and bad. Every bad decision can lead to bankruptcy. Every good decision can lead to an explosion. And let's see the effect of that. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon, and he's giving you that kind of thing, wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is by the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. Those were the centers of wisdom then. But the enlargement that the spirit of wisdom brought the way of Solomon exceeded them. For he was wiser than all men. Than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and than Haman, the Chalcol, and Dada, the sons of Marco. And his fame was in all nations round about. All nations ran about. When wisdom came, it could no longer be contained. I see the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom coming your way today and breaking off every limit on your life. And hear what the word says, verse 34. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon. From all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. That is global impact, initiated by a baptism of divine wisdom. Global impact initiated by a baptism of divine wisdom. All nations came to him. His fame was in all nations of the earth. Now you can say those are kings and leaders. Let's look at the man called Job. He was a big businessman. He was the big gate of his days. He was the greatest of all men in the East. If you are truly connected to God, negative situations in your land will be forced to bow to you. I said they will be forced to bow to you. If you will refuse to bow, you'll never get burnt. Those boys said, we'll never bow. And God stood by to be sure they never get burned. Job was a man that feared God. He was not a schemer Nigerian businessman. A man that feared God and hated evil. And yet he became the greatest of all men in the East. If you don't stop crookedness in your business, I can tell you, you will end up a struggler. This kingdom never entertains a double dealing. You are either ready to walk straight or you don't belong here. So join them fully. Don't patch. He was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. A perfect man. Yet he became the greatest of all men in the East. How? That's Job chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. And in chapter 29, Job said, let me let you into my trade secret. Come and say trade secret. What was the trade secret of Job? Oh, that I were as in the days past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, verse 3, and when by his light I walked through darkness. I was master of the darkness of the day because I was walking by his light. Look at it. Verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The wisdom of God was the trade secret of Job's business exploits. Divine secrets, what is his trade secret? Somebody told you, and I said, God told him that money you are expecting, stand up now. I've opened it up. Go and pay the tithe of it. Get your commitments out of it and watch me. And he said, in 48 hours, everything turned. How many hours? That was Job's secret. When the Almighty was here with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand in their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue clipped to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. He had a secret on his hand, and he was trading that secret for the enlargement of his business empire until he became the greatest of all men in the earth. Divine wisdom paved the way for him. It's paving the way for someone here this morning. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. The greatest man of our time in your field will arise from this morning's service. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. Then came Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17 to 20, this was how captives became captains in the land of captivity. We have looked at Joseph, we've looked at Joshua, we have looked at Solomon, we have looked at Job. Now number 5, we look at Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17, this is what the word says. As for these 4 children, God gave them. Who gave them? And he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Whatever I gave yesterday, I'm still giving today. God is giving you your own portion this morning. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Their position changed. They came out from among their peers and were brought before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king required of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. They moved out from the school. They began to stand with the kings. A sudden change of position by the gifting of God. Something is coming your way now. And the Bible says in chapter 6, and you find out where the secret of that is, chapter 6 of Daniel, and verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Excellent spirit. See, I'm receiving that this morning. Excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. That is what is living here with you. In all matters, they discover he was above them. That is how God is changing your story. All your peers will know you have changed level. Everyone in your area of business will know you operate at a new frequency. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. They entered into their realms of enlargement by the baptism of the spirit of wisdom. Each of them. Let's look at a man by name Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle by all means, was the chiefest of the apostles. Two-thirds of the New Testament came by his hand. And this is what Peter said about him. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. This was Peter's statement about Paul the Apostle. He said, let's start from verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they, as they also do other scriptures, unto their own destruction. That means the spiritual weight of Paul the Apostle is rooted in the gifting of wisdom in his life. It is the principal thing if you must experience true unending enlargement. My prayer this morning is whatever your calling, whatever area of business you are involved, you are breaking new ground. I said you are breaking new ground. I said you are breaking new ground. I said you are breaking new ground. 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 In the name of Jesus. Then let's look at Jesus in closing, number 7. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Matthew 13, 54. Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So the mighty works of Christ, they were provoked by the wisdom of God at work in him. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 2, they exclaim, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that such mighty works were wrought by his hand? God's wisdom is a mighty working wisdom. Mighty works, exploits. Mark chapter 6 and verse 2. Whence has this man these things? From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that such mighty works were wrought by his hands? God's wisdom they are not just conveyed by mighty words, they convey mighty works. Say with me, mighty works. The proof of divine wisdom is in the mighty works that accompanies it. Mighty works. The world celebrates mighty words. So when you can speak and articulate, they say it's a great speaker. Speaking is his profession. But the wisdom of God generates mighty works. Come and say mighty works. Mighty works is the only proof of divine wisdom. Paul the apostle said, we are not talking to you about with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. We're not talking about finesse of what you are saying. We are talking about the products that what you are saying generates and provides and presents to the public. They have been hearing your mighty words for a long time. From now, they begin to see the mighty works of God in your life. You have spoken enough mighty words. They are tired of hearing it. They want to see it. They want to see it. The wisdom of God expresses itself in mighty works. Mighty works. Not mighty words. Mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty works. Oh, they were astonished at his understanding at the age of 12. But they saw mighty works when his ministry began. In 3.5 years, he took the entire world by storms. Irrecoverable impact. 2,000 years after, 2/3 of the human populace still do obeisance to him. Whence has this man, from whence has this man this thing? And what wisdom is this that is given to him that such mighty works were wrought by his hand? This is what it takes to continue to experience unending enlargement. It takes a baptism of the Spirit of wisdom. Therefore, by this anointing, I see an overflowing oil of wisdom coming afresh on your life. It will open you up into scriptures, therefore adding more color into your future. He breathed on them and saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And my Bible said in Luke, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Because your understanding of scriptures is what determines how outstanding your future will be. That is the wisdom bank of God. So when he lets you into it, it puts you far above your peers. Why? The Bible says, whatever is from above is above all. John 3:31. You can't be operating the wisdom of heaven and not be noticed on the earth. In James chapter 3 verse 17, he said, this wisdom cometh not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. But the wisdom from above is first pure. So there are all kinds of wisdom, but there is one from above. By this anointing, I see you connecting with the wisdom from above. I see you connecting with the wisdom from above. And if you are operating by the wisdom from above, you become supernaturally above all, strategically positioned above all. They are all looking at you and wondering, how is it done?